In the 1970s, Vernon Fisher broke with abstract art. He'd been painting abstract works, but depressed, he began playing with books and texts. He was printing out words with an old Dymo plastic label maker.
And I just saw a piece of sandpaper out of the corner of my eye. I mean, it was like the light bulb, you know what I mean? Because those letters sanded through so clean and so sweet, I immediately knew that I was going to leave abstract painting and that I was going to make paintings with text sanded through. And as soon as that idea happened, I shut up shop and just went home. The emotion was just too heavy to keep working.
Fisher's undergrad degree is in literature, so putting stories back into paintings makes sense. But he found he had to develop the right kind of story. A vivid text can hold a viewer's attention longer than your typical still life.
Let's face it, you're standing up, you're at an art museum, you don't want to spend a lot of time. But if I can get them in a couple of sentences, I think they'll usually finish it.
So Fisher's paintings became open-ended puzzles. A story about a woman's husband always disappearing in their car appears over an image of a single, empty diving platform out on a lake. Is that where he goes? Does that represent her isolation?
To me, nothing's ever neat. Anything that is resolved is either delusional or dishonest.
Fisher's art studio sits in that stretch of North Main in Fort Worth that's mostly car lots and empty warehouses. You could drive by and think this little storefront was boarded up and empty. Mr. Fisher, good morning.
Hey, come in.
It's an old tire and tube factory without air conditioning. This morning, Fisher has fans on to keep the place livable. In the winter, it gets so cold, he puts heating pads on new artworks to dry the paint. But in 1980, Fisher and his second wife, Julie, moved in here. They had to hide that fact from the city inspectors. The place isn't zoned for living quarters. So it was cheap and rough. Yet, by the next year, Fisher had paintings in the Whitney Biennial and the Guggenheim in New York. If ever an artist had a ticket to Manhattan, it was the 38-year-old painter. Yet Fisher stayed in Fort Worth and continued teaching at UNT.
It was just too late to leave. I mean, I had a family. My children lived in Texas. I wanted to be near them. And I had a teaching job, you know. I mean, those were the cards.
So the art world came to him here on North Main. Fisher's works have appeared in London, Dusseldorf, Barcelona, Dublin. In 1987, he bought a real house but kept this studio. We leave his front office for the workshop out back.
Oh, you have a lot of toys. And a lot of Mickey Mice.
A lot of Mickey Mice, yeah.
Fisher didn't just get texts into paintings. He painted stories without texts, using only images, sequences of them, like sentences. The images are often on blackboards, often partly erased, often confusingly located on maps or charts. And frequently, these images are well-known cartoon or movie figures, like Mickey Mouse and Frankenstein.
We all know what Mickey Mouse looks like. So if you change what Mickey Mouse looks like, we're immediately aware of the difference. And so you realize you're into a different kind of narrative. The whole key to making art is to make it strange. If it's not strange, you won't notice it.
As a consequence, Fisher's paintings look simultaneously disturbing and goofy. They give off mixed signals, like this music by Carl Orff. It was originally composed as an exercise for children, but it's used in one of Fisher's favorite films, Badlands, from 1973. It's children's music in a movie about Charlie Starkweather, the Nebraska kid who murdered 11 people.
Tone is very important, and what I like to do is mix tones.
That, he says, is considered a no-no. An artwork should be all of a single piece. But Fisher's paintings are full of what he calls static and interruptions. They're where the frivolous meets the tragic.
Which is, to me, so real.
Jerome Weeks, KERA News.